I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas and Joe Gilla. Kyle Quinn in for Hugh. Luke Nichols behind the glass for Kyle. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls on the swing-off. Would you be open to seeing it in a real game at some point down the line? Of course, the Jalen Hurts thing, which is always there. If you just want to talk about the Jalen Hurts rankings and lists and everything that he's been involved in the last couple weeks and months. And the top five, we're going to get to by Friday, the top five athletes of Philadelphia sports over the last 25 years. Today, we unveiled our Sixers list. Elliott Shore Parks had Ben Simmons on his list, which... I mean, Kyle, you even considered not having a fifth spot just to make sure you didn't have Ben Simmons.
Redacted.
Yeah, gone.
We're just leaving an open spot at number five. Now, there's guys that you could find a way to put in there. But, you know, look, the Ben Simmons thing really is just an indictment on the Sixers over the last 25 years. Because it's not like, it's not one of those things where it's unreasonable.
Well, he's probably, in terms of decorated, he's probably one of the more decorated players. He went to three All-Star games.
Like, I wanted to yell at Elliott about it.
Yeah. It's about the Sixers.
But I was just more mad at the Sixers. Yeah. I'm like, why would they do this to me?
Like, other than Embiid and Iverson, they haven't had anyone that you feel is like... and Iguodala. Iguodala was a high-level player.
I don't deserve this. We don't deserve this.
No one does.
To have to consider Ben Simmons in the top five? Yeah. Quarter century?
But that's where it is. Your top fives, and is it crazy to have Ben Simmons on there? All right, before we go back to the phones, though, CJGJ, every, what, month or two, he'll speak again about things? And he was on the Pivot podcast. Let's hear him talking about... the Commander's ejection when he got ejected from the game in December against Washington.
I got kicked out. I was nowhere near the play. Nowhere near the play. Everybody was fed up with me. And I'm like, if you go back to that play, I celebrated with Reed Blankenship. And I'm getting cursed from head to toe on the sideline and looked at Vic even get on me. I'm like, what did I do? So, you know, people in the box, they call down and they're trying to figure out why am I getting kicked. They was trying to reverse the call.
Well, we never got confirmation of what he did there, but he got kicked out of the game. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line, he's got to be responsible for his own actions.
Man, Vic getting on him, too. You could definitely see where they could have butted heads.
Yeah, frustration.
Yeah, big time.
All right, so there's more here. He went on to talk about how the Eagles blamed him for a practice scrum.
Then we had like a little scrum between at practice. Nothing. It's just offense versus defense. But who's the culprit of it? Me, I guess, because I guess we're competing. When you're telling the period is live, you're telling us not to compete during a live period, but it's a live period. We're competing to get ready for a playoff game. All right, cool.
It sounds to me like, and we see this when we watch the games, he's just a button pusher at all times. And look, I wish he was still here. And I thought he, I always think with a player when they're kind of a headache, is it worth the headache? I always think he's worth the headache. When he plays well and he's here, they are better.
Yeah, I'm starting to think he's not, though. Like, that was...
Well, they don't think he is.
Yeah, like, well, that was pretty big woe is me from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Yeah. And there's another clip. It's not in any of the cuts we're going to play because it's super quick. But they're basically like, why are you not an Eagle anymore? And he's like, I'm too much of a competitor. Like, what are you talking
about?
They
can't handle me.
They just won the Super Bowl. Like, at Nick Sirianni's core values, by the way. Is compete not one of them?
That's it. One of the top ones.
Something tells me you're not the only guy there that's a competitor. I don't know. Like, there's no way you go from the 30th ranked defense to the number one ranked defense and not be full of a bunch of competitors.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I mean, you have a wide receiver on the other side, by the way, who gets so mopey and frustrated when he's not getting targets. Like, all of these guys are competitive. A.J. Brown put up an Instagram post after the Super Bowl about how it wasn't enough.
He wanted to get
back
to the
grind.
He's still
hungry. He wants to go dominate somebody. You're not the only competitor. They didn't cut you because you're a competitor. They cut you because you're a lunatic.
Well, I think...
traded you. Sorry.
What he can't handle is that they don't think they need him. I mean, he's obviously hurt. I mean, he's hurt that the best team in the league doesn't think they need him for the second time.
Nice.
You know, like when... If you get hurt and then you kind of like outwardly... He's expressing himself because he's upset. He doesn't. I mean, there was another clip out there that his son, like, it broke his heart when his son said, "We can't wear green anymore." He obviously wants to be an Eagle.
It makes me wonder now: is he the only player in NFL history that has gotten moved on from twice by teams that were in the Super Bowl.
I mean, it's got to, it can't be many. I mean, you would think you'd want to keep as, and especially the same franchise, right?
The same team.
Yeah, there can't be many. All right, let's hear this one. So when he left here in March, and by the way, there was, as people watched the entire episode with the pivot, he did say at one point that he felt he was going to be gone even if they didn't trade him. Like, he thought he was going to get cut. Like, in CJ's mind, there's no way he was going to be an Eagle this coming season. The Eagles wanted to move on, and they ended up trading him to Houston. But he did say when he left, the Eagles will never win again. Like, whatever, there's like some sort of CJ, GJ curse that we won't win without him. He took that back yesterday. Let's hear him apologizing.
Specifically for that, my last question would be this. You're talking about apologizing, forgiving. In the sort of the heat of the moment, the statement was made, the Eagles won't win another ring without me. And you see what happened when I was gone for a year. Looking back at those statements, how do you feel about those now?
I retract them, and I wouldn't even say it because I play with those guys. And I know how they will feel. Like, Chauncey, you tripping. Mm-hmm. It's a disrespect to Jalen Carter. A.J. Brown. I can name all those guys on that team. Lane Johnson.
Right.
Respectfully, because Lane is my big vet. And Lane would tell me, hey, Chance, I got your back. But when you do too much, I don't got your back. And that's one of those moments that's too much. Because it's taken away from his career. He done it before me. So I think apologizing to the guys in Philly, like, I got nothing against them. And if they win 6 more rings without me, they deserve it because that's the type of players they are. And if I don't win, if I do win, like you said, I will apologize to them like a grown man. That's why I'm going to the ceremony, because I know how to approach it. Even if somebody asks me about it, bro, I apologize. That wasn't nothing towards you. I respect you. Like I said, I'll give all my respect to Lane being the oldest guy on the team, the veteran team, because he will be owed apology more, because that comment would be more hurtful to him, because say he decided to keep playing. So, yeah.
I love the retraction of the statement from a few months ago. I take it back.
Yeah. These are the actions of an insane person.
Yeah, that's what he is.
I mean, like, I'm sorry. Crashing out, then apologizing, then crashing out again, and then apologizing. It's great that you apologized. And you know what? I'll even go as far as to say, apology accepted, CJ.
Took offense to it?
Well, because he's apologizing to me. No, like, I actually thought that was, I liked the way that he handled that and at least was able to, like, regroup and think about who he's offending by saying that.
Yeah.
Because I understand, him being a competitor, you're like, my bleep doesn't stink, you know, and you won't win without me. Mm-hmm. That, I think, can come off initially in his head as, that's a me thing. That's about me.
It wasn't about anyone.
But it ends up, you know, it could be perceived as about, like, it's very disrespectful to a guy like Lane Johnson, who won before him, can win without him. Like, it is a disrespectful thing to say to your teammates. And funny enough, that's not really a way that I had thought about it when he initially said it.
I just thought he meant like, hey, look what happened when I left last time.
Right.
You guys are going to struggle again.
Right. But it does make sense to me that he would feel that way about offending his teammates. So I appreciate the fact that he retracted that. But again, as insane people do, he's probably going to crash out again.
Well, I was thinking, let's just fast forward to week 7. Let's say the Eagles' defense is clearly not what it was last year. Like, they're middle of the pack.
Right.
And the Texans, who have D'Amico Ryans, and they've got good pass rushers, like, it wouldn't surprise me if the Texans have a top 10 defense. You know he's going to say something.
Without question.
This, like, he retracted this just to say, see, I told you
right.
so. I mean, it's coming.
And a lot of this stuff, by the way, is not him just saying, let me go find a mic somewhere and say this about the Eagles. He gets, like, he does those live streams where he's video game with people and stuff. And you know how people ask him about the Eagles. And that's when he starts running his yap. So, like, do I think that apology is the end of it? Absolutely not.
We're not done with
no
this.
No way. But it does make me feel a little bit better about the fact that they traded him. Because that was the one thing that I couldn't really get past this offseason. Like, it felt like it made no sense whatsoever.
It does make the terms of the trade make more sense because it felt like a dump. I mean, right. Kenyon Green, I mean, come on. They basically dumped him to Houston.
Yep.
Luke, where are you on the CJ thing?
I mean, is he going to retract the retraction? It feels like it's going
to
be
just
a constant
thing. Let's go back to what I said originally.
Yeah, actually, he's going to have like one good day of training camp and be like, you know what? I think the Eagles are bad.
That's what insane people do.
Yeah, I think the Texans, I think we're going to go undefeated and win the Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, it's going to be back and forth the entire time. I can picture it now. It's like week 7. We haven't thought about CJGJ in months, and then he says something about the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just completely out of the blue. And it feels like he's going to be thinking about the Eagles forever.
And it'll be when it hurts the most. Like, we're going to let up 35 points. CJ's going to say something. We're going to come in and be like, damn.
Yeah, it's just
a real
be a,
down point of the season. Two losses in a row.
It's
going to
be a little
GJ's
like, I told you so, Quip. How many times can he retract the retraction and go back to the original before he confuses himself? I retract what I said with Ryan Clark, but I don't retract the first thing. I'm not surprised he said it all yesterday. And I still wish he was here, even though obviously he's a lot. I mean, the more it plays out, the more you realize he might be a player that plays for like 8 teams in his career. Like a good player that just bounces around because he is.
What is he, 5 for 5 now in the last 5 years?
Yeah. Now, he's not quite as good as this guy was in his sport, but Gary Sheffield in baseball was a tremendous hitter, but he played, I think he played on like 10 teams.
Yeah.
Because he was kind of a nutcase.
But CJ, and to that example, CJ is a good player.
Yeah.
Like now, maybe Vic didn't like how much he improvised, but clearly it worked out, right?
They won.
And you could still argue that they're... We don't know if his replacement is on the roster. By the way, one of the guys that they brought in to replace him hasn't even signed his rookie contract
yet. Yeah, it feels like the most under-talked about thing with the Eagles, that Andrew Mukuba, the second-round pick, is not signed, and training camp starts in 6 days.
It's weird. I mean, this guaranteed money stuff, it's becoming a real problem. There's a lot of rookies are, like, what's his name, Shamar Stewart?
Yeah, for the Bengals.
There's talk about him going back to Texas A&M. Now, he's not eligible to play there, but he can go back, enroll, and study, and just re-enter the draft next season.
So, Mukuba is one of 2 second-round picks that haven't agreed with
the
their
Chargers
deals.
Receiver?
It's Trey Harris. Ole Miss went to the Chargers. But so, Rappaport said yesterday that Trey Harris will hold out. Because they've begun camp, the Chargers.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
I mean, we're 6 days away. And this is not just like, if they had taken a backup right tackle, like Lane's heir apparent in the second round, you'd be like, all right, that's weird, but whatever, right? Like, hopefully we don't have to play him this year. This kid was kind of slated to potentially be a starter from day one.
Yeah, I got to tell you, a rookie holdout is preposterous.
They used to happen a lot back in the day. Now they don't happen much anymore.
I mean, it would be near grounds for me to just say, just get lost.
No, we need him.
I don't care.
Like, get CJ back.
Who do you think you are?
Well, I don't know.
Go sign Justin Simmons. He's desperate to come here.
I'd rather
a guy that wants to play for the Eagles as opposed to wanting to be a rookie. And like, what do you know what that tells me a little bit to some degree? Maybe he doesn't think he's going to be good enough to earn big money in his second contract.
Yeah, and he's trying to just make sure he gets what he can get.
Loser
right now.
Energy.
Yeah. So, 2 second round picks this year, including Jaden Higgins from the Texans, they got fully guaranteed second round picks. That's never happened before. So it seems like the thought is that Harris and now Mukuba want to do the same thing. They want fully guaranteed deals. We'll see.
Get lost.
Well, I'll tell you this. I want him in camp, but if I'm the Eagles, I'm not breaking precedent for a second-round pick.
Of course not.
I would kind of force him to come back to me.
Absolutely. And, I mean, if you're the Eagles, you cannot allow a rookie to strong-arm you like that.
Especially a second-round pick.
Such a bad look.
Yeah, that would be. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Israel in Elkins Park. What's up, Israel?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
You know what? I know it's a slow media day. I'm tired of the Jalen slander.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
I always tell my wife, not my wife, but I tell people, is that how you feel? It's what's true. And what is true is that Peck, in the last 4 years, 4 complete years, Patrick Mahomes is the number one quarterback. And what's true is that Jalen Hurts has had the second most success than any other quarterback in the entire NFL. Everybody wants to do mix and match, and if I had this defense, if I coulda, if some, no, no. We can't live in fantasy land.
Sure we can.
Well, but Ezra, we're living in a world where you're measuring it a certain way. You're living in a, you're measuring it a certain way. Not everyone measures it the same way.
I'm a lifelong Eagles fan. We're living in reality. Mm. And then the reality is, the facts are, he started for 4 years. He's been in 2 Super Bowls. He's been the one without Saquon. He's been the one with Saquon. In his first Super Bowl, he outplayed Patrick Mahomes.
Oh my goodness.
And that's another thing that a lot of people don't want to get Jalen Hurts. Every time Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson see Patrick Mahomes across the street from them, they wet the bed.
Well, that's not true.
No, it's not. What are you talking about?
Josh,
they never make the final play.
Oh, my goodness. Israel, do you remember the game 3 years ago when it was maybe one of the greatest NFL games of all time where Mahomes scored with 13 seconds left on the clock after Allen went down and scored?
That's nice.
That's real cute.
But Israel, you realize what the difference is?
The difference is that
Allen's defense couldn't get a stop and the Eagles' defense dominated.
Poor Josh Allen. At the end of the day, you're either a winner or you're not.
That's a different conversation.
Jalen Hurts was a winner in high school. Mm. He was a winner in college.
Yeah.
And he's a winner in the NFL.
No one disputes that, Israel. That's obvious.
All of these buffoons that's talking about Herbert, this guy is a complete failure in college.
Oh, my goodness.
What are you talking about?
I wouldn't call Herbert's career a failure.
He had 4 interceptions. He lost the game.
Oh, my goodness, dude.
So please, I know this is an opinion show, but the facts are the facts.
No. Hold on. Time out. Israel, hold on.
Oh, my goodness.
Israel, hold on. Facts are facts. But you're painting a certain picture. Your picture is wonderful. I like your picture. I like the idea that Jalen Hurts is the second most successful quarterback in the league the last couple of years. But that's just one way of viewing it. And you, it's okay to see both sides of the equation. I see your side. But Israel, it's not just about winning the Super Bowl. That's not the only way to evaluate a quarterback. If that was the case, then I go back 30 years ago and I say Troy Aikman's better than Dan Marino. I can go back 15 years ago and I say Eli Manning won 2 in 5 years. He wasn't better than Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, Israel.
2 in 5 years. The reality is...
But hold on, Israel, do you agree or disagree with the premise of what I'm saying? Like, did you think Aikman was better than Marino?
How did their careers end?
How did you think Aikman was better than Marino when they were playing? That's all I'm asking.
When the career was over.
Oh my goodness! He just won't answer the question.
Marino had 0 Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think Eli was better than Rodgers? Was Eli better than Rodgers? Was Eli better
to win 3 more Super Bowls?
Was Eli a better player than Rodgers? Just answer the question. Who's a better player, Eli or Rodgers?
3. Hold on. I'm gonna ask you a question.
You didn't even answer his.
The answer is Rodgers.
Do you think Jalen Hurts is going to appear in another Super Bowl? Yes or no?
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you.
Yes.
All right, how many?
1 or 2.
All right, so that would be 4 Super Bowls that he went to.
Oh,
he's probably going to win 3 of them. The facts are what the facts are.
Well, that's not a fact. You're talking about probably in hypotheticals, just like we are.
He's already been a 2.
Okay, so but you're talking about winning 3 out of 4. What does that have to do with anything? Nobody's arguing the success that he had.
We know this.
Oh my, Israel, no. I can't take it. I can't take it. The winner thing is... Dude, shut up for a second, okay? If Jalen Hurts played for freaking Toledo in college, he's not winning crap. He's a winner because he's on winning teams. Winning is a team stat.
Josh Allen hasn't won this crap.
Oh, my goodness. The Bills haven't won crap.
They haven't won any. That's why they paid them $700 million to win a Super Bowl. Get the job.
Oh my God,
Israel! Do you remember? I ask you a question. Do you remember what the Bengals and the Bills were before those quarterbacks got there?
They're the same thing they are now.
It's the most ridiculous thing said on WIP all day. It's ridiculous. The Bengals are the same team as when Burrow got there. The Bills hadn't made the playoff. The Bills. You're nuts. The Bills had made the playoffs once in a decade and a half. Israel, the Bills made the playoffs once in a decade and a half. Now they go to the title game every year.
It's a loser's franchise.
And the Eagles are a winning franchise. What a coincidence. Jalen Hurts came to a winning franchise, and Josh Allen went to a losing franchise. What happens? One team wins, one team loses. Thanks for playing.
Josh Allen is going to appear in the Super Bowl? I don't even want to
Israel, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do if Josh Allen wins the Super Bowl? Because then your entire stupid argument is thrown out the window. And I got news for you, buddy. He's very likely to go and win a Super Bowl in his career because he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league.
That hasn't done anything yet.
Oh, right. Yeah, thank you. Back to square one.
Do you think it has anything to do with he's in the same conference as Mahomes and Lamar?
Well, beat him then. I know Jalen Hurts seems to beat him in the playoffs and the regular season.
Yeah, because this is tennis, and we're just playing each other one-on-one.
I have a question. Do you think it is an easier road that Jalen has or a harder road than Allen has?
Nobody cares about the road.
Oh, because you don't like...
It doesn't support
us. My favorite thing we do is when we don't like to answer questions, we just avoid questions.
We don't care.
Can't you just be real? Jalen Hurts is really good, but to get to the Super Bowl in his two times there, he has had to go through Love, pretty good, right? Stafford, very good. Daniels, very good, but it was rookie year. And the first time, it was Daniel Jones and what was the guy's name?
Josh Johnson and Brock Purdy
after a quarter. Yep. Meanwhile, I know you. The bottom line is the bottom line in sports. But every year they have to. It's like a round robin. They have to play against each other. Mahomes, Allen, Lamar literally go through each other every year.
I want to alert everybody to the fact that neither Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen's career is over. Right? Josh Allen, being one of the best quarterbacks in the league and being on a team that's a contender every season, does have a pretty solid likelihood of winning a Super Bowl in his career. What happens if Hurts and Allen are knotted up in Super Bowls? Then we don't have that stupid tiebreaker over Allen anymore.
Right.
Then that entire argument is in the trash. That's why I implore people to make the case for him without telling me that he won a Super Bowl, because the Eagles won a Super Bowl.
The funny thing is, we did this before, like 15 years ago in the NFL. Remember when all those great quarterbacks in the AFC? It was Brady. It was Manning. It was Roethlisberger. It was Rivers. They all were together in the same conference. And usually it was Brady going to the Super Bowl, and people ripped Manning until he got there. Like, you know what wasn't the facts? Like, Eli wasn't better than most of those guys, if any of them. He just was in the NFC. Like, this happens a lot.
Of course it does. Look, that was a fun call with Israel.
He was fired up. I haven't heard
of him
in a long time.
Very frustrating points. Very frustrating.
Yeah, well,
it's like talking to a brick wall.
He wanted to remind you, because obviously, Kyle, you've forgotten.
I did forget.
Jalen Hurts is a winner. I think everyone forgets that.
So what? I mean, dragged that Alabama team, dragged Oklahoma.
No NFL
and
guys.
Dragged the Eagles.
Yeah, dragged them all the way. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right. We know the Eagles were the NFC East champions last year, the NFC champions. Well, the team that gave them the hardest road to win the division, the Commanders, they're projected to be really good again. How good? Well, they have some issues we got to talk about, including their star wide receiver who does not seem happy with the team. We'll hit that next, your phone calls, and we'll check in with you people, all coming up on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, Kyle Quinn in for Hugh today. And, of course, Luke Nichols behind the glass. All right, we'll get back to everyone's phone calls, which, of course, again, I take zero blame for this today. We had a friendly conversation with Elliot. We haven't seen him in a while. We asked his take on the list, and then it became Jalen Hurts thing. That's what happens.
Don't get mad at us. Like, if this board here were filled with Ben Simmons in your top five of the last quarter century, the Home Run Derby, the ABS, Kyle Schwarber, those are the calls and conversations we'd be having. What the board says here, Jalen, Hurts. Hurts versus Josh Allen. Hurts debate. What do you want me to do?
We want to talk about whatever you want to talk about. All right, before we get back to that, though, the Commanders are one of the more intriguing teams in the league this year, obviously, after what they did last year and in the Eagles division. I think they're a huge threat this season. Kyle, you don't think they're as much a threat.
No.
But we can agree on this.
Yep.
if they're going to be a threat, they obviously need Terry McLaurin out there as their number one receiver and best offensive player to go along with Jaden Daniels. Well, it sounds like there's a lot going on here with Terry McLaurin thing, and it's not good for the Commanders. All right, let's hear Ian Rapoport first here, Luke. Rapoport talking about McLaurin and the Commanders not seeing eye to eye in this next contract.
Not seeing eye to eye yet. And, you know, rarely do we see deals done on July 15th or July 14th, like we saw three huge deals done over the past 2 days. Usually right up against the start of training camp is when these things really kick into gear and when the deadlines end up creating deals. The Commanders are not there. So just because Terry McLaurin does not have a new contract yet doesn't mean he is not going to get a new contract. You mentioned some of the numbers. My understanding, he wants to be in the 30s. And judging by his stats, 30s make sense. And the fact that Garrett Wilson, on his first big deal, obviously much younger than Terry McLaurin, but on his first big deal, got more than $32 million per year based on new money, you'd think that would be good news for McLaurin. We also know that he is pretty serious, right? I mean, he was not there at a mandatory minicamp. He spoke today to reporters, many, many local reporters and some other people who were there to listen to his words. He sounds serious. He is obviously not happy. Commanders want to get this done. You really do have to think, Tom, that this will get done in time. These receiver deals are getting to a point where they are so massive, teams have to make absolutely sure you want to lock a guy up before you do so.
All right, so he's not there and he's annoyed. Let's hear from him. You know, Rapoport kind of alluded to that he spoke yesterday. Let's hear from Terry McLaurin, who's obviously not happy with the situation with his contract at the Commanders right now.
Yeah, I've been pretty frustrated, I'm not going to lie. You know, everything that has transpired up until this point has been disappointing and frustrating. You know, I've wanted to continue my career here. I've created my life here. You know, my wife and I have bought our first home here. So this has been somewhere where I've always wanted to be.
You know, I hear that a couple things. One, I think I need another month or month and a half of him not being there, and then I'll start to get like, oh, maybe this is going to affect things. I still think they're going to re-sign him. But Kyle, I do, when I hear that, I'm like, other than the Reddick thing, which I think the Eagles didn't want him here anyway, yeah. This never happens. Yeah. Howie never lets this happen. Could you imagine AJ or Devontae on July 15th, a week before camp, saying, I'm frustrated with the team? They would never let this happen.
No, and by the way, for Washington's side, I don't understand the incentive for them not to do this. Jaden Daniels on a rookie deal.
I know.
They have money.
The only theory I have is that they're waiting still to see the TJ Watt or Hendrickson market, and they're trying to wait for the money. Like, I still think they're going to sign him no matter what they do, but maybe like they want to see how much they got to pay this guy before that guy. Because I agree with you. There's no logic to like, hey, we're a Super Bowl contender, or at least they think they are, right? They were close last year. He had a cheap quarterback. Like, why wouldn't they just pay him?
But then what message does that send to Terry McLaurin about how much he's really valued?
Well,
there?
That could be an issue,
you know?
Too.
Like, well, so I don't know. I just, I got my eye on the Commanders this season, the whole training camp stuff with Terry McLaurin. Like, I'm not getting good vibes. Like, I'm not getting the vibes that the Commanders are about to just build off of necessarily what they did last season. I think they had a lot of fluke wins. And
well, a lot of close games.
Yeah, and when you're a team that wins games like by the skin of your teeth a lot, you know, you get regression in the mean. That tends to flip the other way. Not fully buying into the Jaden Daniels thing yet. I need to see it a little bit more. I understand the magnitude of what he did as a rookie, being a rookie, taking him to the NFC Championship game. But we've seen this before. And, you know, you have your one end of the spectrum, the Patrick Mahomeses, who remain great. Mm-hmm. And then you have your CJ Strouds. I don't know what that's going to be with Jaden Daniels. I just don't. I didn't view the Commanders offseason as something where I'm like, wow, like that's turning a lot of heads. They got Fat Debo.
Tunsil was the best
thing. And Tunsil was the best thing they did. And he's a lineman.
Yeah.
They're pretty old. And I don't think their defense is that scary. I don't think they've improved their defense insanely since last season either. Just if I had to pick one candidate, I guess a sleeper candidate, but maybe not. I wonder if other people feel the same way as I do. But if I had to pick a team to take a big step back next year and surprise everybody, it would be the Commanders. I'm not buying into them this year. I'm not.
It could happen. I am worried about them and think they... I mean, look, no one's won this division in back-to-back years in forever. So, like, they're the obvious team that you would think... I mean, they're the second team in the division. And they have a great young quarterback. But it could happen. I mean, would it shock me if they either didn't make the playoffs or got knocked out in the first round? It wouldn't.
And
they're in the title game last year.
They're going to have a tough schedule, too.
Of course they are.
I mean, think about it. Like, they have basically the same schedule as the Eagles, but the second place version.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes, who knows, maybe the second place teams will prove to be better than last year's first place teams that we have to play. You know, you just never know with things like that.
This segment brought to you by Meineke. Get your AC tuned up for the summer and road trip season. Take your car to a locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke. NFL.com. Let's go to Clarence in South Jersey. Clarence, what's up?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, Clarence. What's up?
I'm just going to make a point about Jalen without saying he's a Super Bowl champion. How many coordinators has he had?
Well, I mean, if you go back to college, a lot. If you go to just the NFL, it went from Sirianni calling plays to Steichen to Johnson to Moore to Petullo. So we're on five now.
Okay.
Here.
How many coordinators has he gotten head coach's job?
Well, two. And I actually left out Doug, who was his coordinator slash coach's first year. So throw Doug in there, too, for his first season. And he's gotten the two guys' coach's job, right? Steichen and Moore.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay, second point is his best season, 22. Do you think had he kept that coordinator, he would have put up the same numbers?
I think it would have helped a lot. Like you're talking about if they didn't lose Steichen in 23, I think it would have helped a lot. Yep.
Absolutely. And the 23 season, the coordinator was overmatched. And it showed as the season went on. If you watch every Eagles game like I did, you were screaming at the TV. First down, they're going to run up the middle. Second down, they're going to run to the outside. And third down, they're going to expect a pass somewhere. So, I mean, he's gotten this far, got so many coaches promoted, and, you know, he's just a winner.
You're leaving out a big part of the 2023 season, and that's that Jalen Hurts pretty much sucked. And I will push back a little bit on the fact.
No, he didn't really.
He led the league in turnovers for like 23 straight games. He sucked.
Yeah,
took a safety in the playoff game against the Bucs. He was not good in 2023. You're not going to convince me otherwise. And the other thing is, because hang on just one second. I don't necessarily agree with the fact that, sure, you can say he got Shane Steichen a job. He was great in 2022, MVP runner-up. Did Jalen get Kellen Moore the job, or was the Eagles' offense having a 2,000-yard rusher?
What I'm saying is Jalen can win with a competent coordinator.
So his supporting cast matters.
Well, every team that makes it to the playoffs has a supporting cast. I don't care what you say.
Okay.
They all have a supporting cast. Mm-hmm. It's whether you can win. At the end of the day.
But the Eagles win, right? And, like, I don't think he necessarily was the biggest reason that Kellen Moore just got a head coaching job this year, being the 28th, 29th ranked passing offense in the NFL.
Oh, you don't think so?
No, I really don't.
Well, do you think the Saints hired Kellen Moore off of the Eagles passing game last year?
It's because of play calling decision making in crucial times. Like that's why we lost to Tampa Bay. We had no answers. Our coordinator had no answers.
Yeah, and Hurts took one of the worst safeties I've ever seen.
So that point you made there, Clarence,
but that happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think this year now, and Clarence, good phone call. I think this year is gonna be super interesting on how Hurts plays because the pattern, and I'm not saying Petullo can't break the pattern, but the pattern has been when they go from outside the organization to find the right coordinator, yep. Steichen and then Kellen Moore, it's worked.
Yeah.
When Sirianni's promoted from within, which was one time, Ben Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. Brian Johnson.
Yeah.
That didn't work. And so, now we're promoting from within again. So let's hope that pattern is broken. Otherwise, this will not be a great year.
Yeah, and I'm choosing to be more optimistic about that. Because I think the key distinction here is Brian Johnson was, for lack of a better term, Jalen's guy.
Yep.
Petullo's Sirianni's guy. I think Sirianni's been grooming Petullo for this role for a while now.
He brought him up in every press conference for 5 years.
Right. Yeah. Him and Jason Michael. You hear a lot about those
guys. The next coordinator,
yep,
Jason Michael.
Right. But I have reason to believe that the Petullo thing will work out a lot better than the Brian Johnson thing. Now, not that the bar is very high, but I feel a lot better about Petullo than I did Brian Johnson.
I do, too. But, I mean, Brian Johnson was talked about highly when they gave him the job, right? People are like, he's the next head coach down the line. And maybe he still will be. Remember, Brian Johnson went to Washington last year and was part of that staff.
Yep. And I had people telling me that
it was Brian Johnson.
Well, you should have never let Brian Johnson go.
Well, no, but he was... Was he? He might have been scapegoated a little bit for what happened.
Probably.
Yeah, even our last caller basically blamed the whole season on
him. And again, he's not in the OC role there with Washington. He's probably better suited to not be a play caller, designer, et cetera.
And maybe he was just early. Maybe he's going to get there late.
He was only in the NFL for 1 year before becoming the OC.
And he was like, what, 35? He's young.
Like that,
he's a young guy. He could be a head coach 5 years from now. Who knows? Ben in Chalfont. What's up, Ben?
Yeah, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Hey, Ben, what's going on?
Yeah, I just calling in about the Hurts thing. Obviously, you know, it's craziness, but I'm not calling in to debate or anything. I just had one question. I just wanted to know, who do you guys think is more likely to win a Super Bowl next, Jalen Hurts or Josh Allen? Again, I'm not here to argue or anything.
Probably hurts.
Just wanted to hear you guys.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles are the Eagles.
Yeah, they're
back.
I would say the Eagles are more likely to win a Super Bowl next than the Bills, considering the fact that they just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, I hear you, for sure. I just didn't know, you know, him going to how many championship games in the next X amount of years or the last few years, but
yeah.
No, thank you. I had one question, so I wanted to hear.
You got it, Ben. And so, I mean, part of that goes back to what I was saying to one of our callers, I think it was Israel, it's like, just play out this year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, to get to the Super Bowl, and I think the NFC is pretty good right now, but Jalen Hurts could have to play Jared Goff and the Lions, and that's a big challenge. They're good if they're healthy, but you know, to get to the Super Bowl, Allen probably has to once again beat both Jackson and Mahomes.
Yeah, right. And the Bills need to surround him with a better team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm just like, to keep the same energy, the teams are winning the Super Bowl. It's not Josh Allen winning the Super Bowl. This isn't golf. This isn't tennis where they're going head-to-head. And it's not an individual sport. Like, Josh Allen needs a defense. He needs a running game. He needs wide receivers. Like, just like every quarterback does to win. But when you're ranking them and pitting them against each other, that's where you try to, because, you know, people get upset about what ifs and stuff because they're not the reality. Mm. And I understand that. But we're looking at this from a perspective of how do we compare these guys? And when you compare these guys, you have to do the best you can to put it in a vacuum or of like this similar set of circumstances, because that's where you can really tell who's better.
Yeah. And I think that's what is the most challenging for Jalen Hurts. Like when we talk about Jalen Hurts, because he does things that are different than a lot of quarterbacks. There's unique things. We had the tush push brought up earlier and he's won a lot. And I think sometimes people hear it as we don't think he's a reason why they win. He was the biggest reason that they were be able to dominate those last two games, right? If he didn't play well, those would have been close games.
Yes.
He's like the tipping point. Like when he plays well, they really are unstoppable.
It was exactly what we could have asked for him to be in the championship game and the Super Bowl. Because, like, look, let's face it. All season long, we were wondering when's the team going to key in and try and stop Barkley and make Jalen Hurts throw to beat you. And does it not say anything to people that the Chiefs, Steve Spagnuolo, one of the best defensive coordinators in the league, sold out to stop the running back and dared the quarterback to beat him? And to Jalen Hurts' credit, he was able to beat him.
Yeah, and that's why the Eagles are so good, because if Jalen plays like that, they really, like, at least last year, they were unbeatable. Yep. Jay in Philly. What's up, Jay?
Yo, fellas, what's going on?
Hey, Jay.
Hey, look, man, I'm not going to argue that Josh and Jalen debate, man. My man, what was his name, Israel?
Israel, yes.
Yeah, that was funny, man. Yo, so he said that Josh couldn't win, even though it was the defense's fault, right? Like, the defense, you know, couldn't stop Pat in those last, 13 seconds, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so what's the difference when the Eagles was in the Super Bowl and people saying that my man needed Saquon to win, but yet he put us in a position, but the defense couldn't stop Patrick Mahomes, and Bradberry had that holding call, and he never got the ball back. But people still want to say that my man needed Saquon to win the Super Bowl. What's the difference?
Well, so so here's what I would say, Jay. I can't speak for anybody else, but I didn't think Jalen wasn't a winner after the first Super Bowl. Like, that, the Israel's saying Josh Allen's a loser because he can't win in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know he's tripping, but I never felt that about Jalen. I wouldn't have said that about Jalen after the first Super Bowl, that he's a loser because he couldn't win that game. I mean, the defense. Now, look,
not a loser, but I've heard too many people say that, you know, and I don't know if Kyle said it too, but like, I've heard too many WIP people say that Jalen needed Saquon to win the Super Bowl. No. Now, if that's the argument, cool, but don't tell me that Josh Allen didn't beat Patrick Mahomes because of his defense, and then tell me that my man Jalen needed Saquon to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to the Jalen needed Saquon to win the Super Bowl. Like, we just saw him go to the Super Bowl with Miles Sanders. Like, the Eagles' offensive line and running game is what it is. Now, Saquon brought it up an extra notch for sure. I think where I would go is Jalen Hurts needed the defense. The Eagles needed the defense to win that Super Bowl. And that's the difference between the Super Bowl they lost in 2022 and this one. I mean, that was as clear as day. The defense kicked Patrick Mahomes' ass.
Because he played well in both games.
Correct.
Yeah.
Mahomes went up and down the field on the defense in 2022. The key difference was the defense.
But my man scored. So I understand what you're saying. But he scored 35 in the game, so he didn't need the Eagles.
No, Jalen was incredible in 2022 Super Bowl. He was amazing.
He didn't need the Eagles defense that we had this year. Number one, he didn't need all that. He just needed the
you're right. In that year, he needed just a little bit better. But you get what I'm saying. Like, the difference between the win and the loss is the defense. Like, that. That's why, to me, it speaks to the fact that it's the ultimate team game, and it's not attributing the wins to just one guy. It's not a fair way to evaluate it.
Good call, Jay. One thing I think that we forget sometimes is like each year's different. So we say a player's name, like they needed help.
Right.
The 2022 Jalen didn't need Saquon Barkley.
No.
Last year's Jalen, now sure. In the Super Bowl, you probably could have had 100 different running backs. They still win the game, right? Because he was so good and the defense was so good. But they don't get to where they got to without Saquon last year.
No.
So, like, think about the regular season, think about the first two playoff games. If that's Miles Sanders, I'm not even sure they make the title game.
Yeah, and also, like, consider this in the game. What's the Chiefs' defense look like if they're not selling out to try and stop Saquon Barkley, right? Like, right? Does that become a little bit harder on Jalen Hurts to throw the ball?
Of course it does. Yeah. I mean, he played great in that game, yep. But, like, they don't get to that stage if we don't have the Saquon season as part of it. All right, let's check in with you people today.
You people. It's time to hear from you people. What do you mean, you people?
Many saying today, Kyle has the best clues that they've heard so far.
Wow, we got to tell Hugh when he gets back because that's going to hit.
Many are saying it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it was actually just one person.
Oh, okay, so. Yeah, that counts as many.
Yep. I'm not shaving the mustache. Quit asking me to do it.
Are they like? Can we put a bet on it?
It's not for you.
Okay.
The mustache isn't for you. I'm sorry. I love you, people. You're not the reason I have a mustache.
Okay.
Not shaving the stash. Kyle sounds like a pissed off Delco mom. I don't know where the mom part came in. That one feels
Delco,
like a dig.
Yeah. Fits.
But pissed off Delco guy. Yeah. For sure. The mom thing. A little bit offensive.
Yeah, that was the purpose of it.
Yeah. I'm only reading this one just because I never heard this phrasing of it before.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody said, Kyle, you have to go bald. Like, come on home.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm not balding. I just have a big hairline.
Yeah.
Had this my entire life. Not balding. But the way that they said this last part, don't let your hair get the last word.
Wow. And you know what? I never thought about it that way. That's what I did. So I was balding in the back, and I didn't like the bald spot. Mm-hmm. And I had, so it was stages for me. First, I just went shorter, right? Then I started like buzzing it, but you still saw the bald spot. And then I decided to come home not to let my hair get the last laugh.
Let your hair get the last word.
No,
at least by their perception, I have been. I thought this one was good. You guys suck, and your opinions don't matter.
That might be the new tagline for the show.
Yeah. Our opinions don't matter. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah. Neither do yours then.
No. Right? Well, no, none of ours do.
But they're all fun to talk about.
But we're just talking about sports.
Yes.
Your opinions don't matter. Thanks for the reminder. I know they don't. Dumbest thing Joe has ever said, and I cannot understate the significance of that.
What part of the show was that from?
Well, that was in the beginning. Oh, yeah. With the home run derby thing. Yeah.
It was fun. Okay. Why do we have to hate fun all the time? I get it. It would be different in Mickey Mouse, but I thought it was fun.
Yeah. I just like the fact that
I feel like I've said dumber things.
Yeah. Right, well, but that's the kicker there is that like the significance of that being the dumbest thing you said carries a lot of weight.
It does.
Because implies you've made a lot of stupid statements before.
Right. And this one was, it felt like it was like there was no real stakes to it. Yeah. They're probably never going to do this. Yep. It just was silly.
And this is I love this analogy for the, we talked about the zombie runner as opposed to
Manfred
like how different it is from a swing derby or the home run derby, the swing off, whatever you want to call it. Joe wants to take a lollipop shaped like a turd and turn it into a turd flavored lollipop. See, I would rather eat the lollipop shaped like a turd than a turd flavored lollipop.
That's a tough look either way.
I think that was good.
I mean, I agree with the overall premise.
That was a good analogy.
It is, yeah. It's an uncomfortable snack either way. Just put it that way.
Turd flavored lollipop. That's the swing off. The lollipop shaped like a turd. It's still the lollipop.
Yeah, it is. But the shape's not good.
The shape is turd like. Yeah. All right. Couple suggestions here to finish this thing off.
Mm.
What do we think of a mascot swing off?
So you got the Fanatic against Blooper.
Yeah, Blooper versus the Fanatic.
Is Mr. Met available after you fell off stage?
Should be dealing with a nice long IL stint after tumbling off the stage, the Lumineers concert.
I can't get enough of that video. Mr. Met just tumbling off.
It's great. It's so LOL Mets. And then the last one, I love this idea. And we've had some sort of iteration of this via Rod. But how about an ABS for bad takes at WIP?
Well,
we get to tap our heads.
Oh, my goodness. How many challenges are allowed per show? Could you imagine if there was a buzzing system every time someone heard a bad take? You know how we have to play the emergency broadcast sounder?
Yeah,
we just play the whole show.
We'd have to rein it in a little bit with the amount, but I like the idea of, like, hold on.
Like, if you had a buzzer back there every time you didn't like a take from a caller or one of us.
Oh, yeah. No.
It would be bad radio.
Today with the Jalen stuff, it would just be constant.
Yeah. Well,
we could, though, to have one of those when Hughes starts going on his defense, the luxury, not a necessity thing, that'd be good.
That's where we need the, that's the ABS.
Yes. Yeah.
So we did have the challenge system where you throw the challenge flag.
Yes.
But an ABS. We got to think about how we might have to work that
I do
out.
Like that yep. one. All right, let's wrap it up by talking about a Twitter question here. Sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. All right, here's the final results of the polls. Would you be open to ending a real MLB game with a home run derby? Yes, 28%. No, at 72%. And then would it be crazy to put Ben Simmons on the Sixers quarter century top five? Yes, at 82%. No, at 18%.
I got to throw one more quick one in here
okay.
from you people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because this one came in right at the buzzer. About Luke. Guy's got a voice for opera and a face for metal.
Well, now you should feel like you've made it. You people reach it.
Yep. Good
I gotta
job,
say
Luke.
Your voice, Luke. When now I'm working with you and seeing you,
less impressive.
Well, not less impressive. I just it's more like it flows and it's normal. When I hear you just on the radio, yes. It's like wow.
Yeah, it makes more sense when you can at least match it to you as opposed to like I'm listening to God from the movies.
That's right. Yeah. He's a regular person.
But then people have also said it doesn't match how I look at all.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think the more, well, maybe you need
maybe,
to
maybe if you were a little taller bigger, yeah.
I think the more I get to like watch him speak, the more I'm like, this makes
that's
sense.
What, yeah.
And like 280, yes. Right. It would make more sense.
Yeah. Like the Big Show, the old wrestler. Yeah. Like something like that. All right, everyone, you guys have a great rest of your day. Who's in now? Is it Broads?
I think it's Broads.
Broads is back. Broads is coming up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.